your home of the Las Vegas Raiders. 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
O'Connell, and caught! Adams at the four! First and goal!
He got the one down. It's whether or not he got knocked out before the second one gets down. The elbow's down. So, yep, that counts. That's good. That's a good catch.
19-yard completion to Devontae Adams.
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Gnarly Charlie.
Welcome to Inside the Patch. We are ESPN Fresno, your Valley local sports leader. Okay, it has been free agency pandemonium for the Raiders. And let's run down the list. But before we get to that, let's thank Fresno Rack and Shelving, Nice Rack, our sponsors. Also, Valley Children's Hospital. If you'd like to make a donation, just text the word Gnarly, G-N-A-R-L-E-Y, 251-555. Let's take a look at where we're at in free agency. It's been quite a week. Well, let's go over to the losses first. Belai Nichols signed with the Cardinals for a three-year, $14.4 million deal. Jermaine Illuminor signed with the Giants, a two-year, $14 million. This one hurts a little bit. Josh Jacobs signed with the Packers, four-year, $48 million. Amik Robertson signs with the Lions, two-year, $9.25 million. And Austin Hooper signs with the Patriots, a one-year deal for $54.25 million. Unfortunately, we had to release Hunter Renfrow, number 13. You were awesome when you got a chance to play, and you will always have some Raider love. Once a Raider, always a Raider. We also released Jimmy Garoppolo. Good luck with that. I think of him as a Niner. All right, so what did we do? What did we sign? We signed defensive tackle Christian Wilkinson. 4 years, $110 million, $84 million guaranteed. We got a Gardner. We signed quarterback Gardner Minshew. 2 years, $25 million, $15 million guaranteed. Both those huge. We re-signed Andre James, our center. 3 year, $524 million, $16 guaranteed. And we signed tight end Harrison Bryant. 1 year, $3.25 million. So that's where we're at currently. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mitch Adams, who is the professor of the Perfect Rotation Basketball Training Device. We're going to talk about what moves are going to help us. What is the status of your Las Vegas Raiders? And is there more to come? There is. That's coming up next right here on Inside the Patch.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the Valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders. Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders. 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Hit quickly here on third down. Minshew escapes the pocket, throws. He's got Devontae Adams for a touchdown.
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Gnarly Charlie.
Welcome to Inside the Patch. We want to thank our sponsors, which is Fresno Rack and Shelving, Nice Rack, and also Valley Children's Hospital. It's the Miracle on the Hill. If you can, if you want to make a donation, just text the word Gnarly, G-N-A-R-L-E-Y, to 51555. And as always, Mitch Adams, I call him my inside Oakland man, also the professor of the Perfect Rotation Basketball Training Device. Mitchell Adams is in the house. Look at that thing. Oh. We need to do one for golf too. Maybe a little golf ball with grooves in it.
Yeah, just one that disappears and then reappears on the green. Yeah,
I like
5
that.
Inches
That's
from
perfect.
The hole.
Well, so the official season is underway now for 2024/25. We are in first place right now. Tied with everybody.
Yeah.
And the Raiders did make a splash on the very first days of free agency. I mean, well, let's talk about some of the guys we lost. I'm wearing Josh Jacobs' jersey right here. And this is his old jersey. He was number 8 last year. But, you know, it's just one of those things where,
And he was one of the last Oakland Raiders. One of the very few.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Max and him came in together.
There's only one left. Yeah, there's only one left.
Is it Max?
It's Max. It's Max. Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, but that's the part I hate about free agency, but I understand, you know, and it is what it is. I know, well, I know Josh was a Raider at heart, and but it's a business too, you know?
It is a business. And for whatever reason, the premium on running backs over the last few years, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then Tiki Barber had nerves to be mad at, and why can't I think of his name, the running back from the Giants and went down to Philadelphia. A big running back.
From the Giants.
Look at me drawing a blank. Yeah. What? I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Barkley, Saquon Barkley. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Tiki Barber's mad at him. He said, you're dead to me. It's like, dude, if the teams would pay for running backs, they wouldn't leave.
Yeah. And
they have to go find money.
And you really can't even blame the player, even though it feels like a slap in the face, but it's like, that's what the market is. And you got to have, you know, it is a job first and foremost, you know. That's the hardest part to me.
Derrick Henry with Baltimore. Swift went to Chicago.
Well, and Derrick Henry is just a beast. They kept showing highlights of him just throwing like fifth graders, just players just getting tossed, like, get out of the way of Derrick Henry. And I'm like, wow.
Like they were fifth graders, but they're 240 pounds, and he's just
something else. And I, you know, it still hurts me that Hunter Renfrow's gone, only because I saw something. I just thought he was going to be an Edelman for us. I thought him and Carr had a great rapport. I thought he was just that, you know, slick, quick guy, and it just didn't find a home with us. And I'm going to blame stepdad. Still, I'm going to blame McDaniels for putting him there, putting him in that hole, and he couldn't get out.
Yeah. No doubt. No, right. And he was that slick Edelman kind of underneath guy. I mean, 104 catches, 103, 104 2 years ago. How do you find yourself in a doghouse? I don't understand it. And even if you are in the doghouse, if you can catch the ball and get first downs as you did the previous season, no matter what differences you have with the coach, throw him the ball. But he didn't even get on the field. And so he lost playing time to everyone else. And unfortunately, his contract was too big to stay.
Yep. Well, we did get a Gardner. So that could help with the greens keeping around, right? We have a Gardner with a mullet, and I'm a fan of his hairdo, and I'm a fan of that mustache when he grows it. Right now, he kind of looks like James Franco a little bit.
He's little. I won't curse because I think I got in trouble with little blank boy.
Yeah.
Max called him a little boy during the game, and they showed the highlights. He's like, that guy's so angry.
Why is he so mad? And then I saw the highlights
where Max welcomed him to the facility.
Right.
Lest we forget, we had, I think Chris Jones was the number one rated player in free agency this year.
Right.
And Christian Wilkins was number two. Chris stayed at home at KC. Yeah. We got the best player available in this free agency. It's almost like we could almost do what we normally would do in the draft and just pick anybody. We've won. We've won already, because what that does to our defense, oh my God.
Yeah.
Max?
Well, obviously we decided, okay, this is how we're going to get Mahomes. And now Mahomes has to be worried about that. Max was after Mahomes anyway. You know, our defense got his number. And now, and have you just seen Christian? Christian, he's got a lot of Warren Sapp comedy in him. He's a fun guy. He plays all the time. Like 98% of the plays. He's always out there.
So he and Max aren't coming off the field. They're going to wreak havoc.
Right.
And everyone around them should get better.
That's what I'm
thinking.
Because
the double teams. The double teams are going to face.
Oh.
It's going to leave Kuntz and Wilson open.
This is perfect for, like, if our defense is where it seems to be on paper, then our offense doesn't have to score 45 points a game. 21
24 would be good.
Yeah, 24 works. That works. That should be enough. I mean, I hope so.
I'd like us to go out and score 63 every game and let that defense do what it does. Or as they would say, do what it do.
Do what it do. Zamir White is going to be running the ball. Also, Abdullah is back. And so.
Yeah, Abdullah's, yeah, yeah.
Those two right there. I could see them probably picking up another one somewhere, maybe, possibly in the draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And then.
If you go down the list of what we need, defense, I'd say we need another corner opposite Jones, somebody dynamic. There are going to be additional free agents released around June 1st. And I think that's a time where you start to look for the guy whose contract may not fit the plans of the team that he's currently on. Now it does. But then when you draft your players and you look around June, like, we might not be able to keep this guy. I think a veteran in the defensive backfield would help out tremendously. So I think the linebacker core is pretty solid. Because you've got some guys there that are just hammerheads and they play hard, man. And I think the contagiousness of Max and now Christian Wilkinson is going to spill back from the interior back to the linebackers, back to the secondary, and guys are going to have to step up their play. I do think that what I heard Christian Wilkins say in one of his interviews is that when the Raiders played Miami, he says he could not put his finger on what it was, but he says they've got it. And
something
I
is
like
different.
It.
Yeah.
And he says, I wouldn't mind being a part of that because he knew he was going to be a free agent. And he jokingly said, because Nevada's not a one of the states like Florida, the state tax isn't there. He said that was one of the places I was looking at. And he says, now I'm here. And he's screaming, Raiders. I mean, his jacket had the aces. I mean, it had the cards in it. And he said, I've had this for 5 years. He said, maybe it was a sign that this is something I need to be here in Vegas.
Tyreek Hill kept saying to him, oh, they made you say that. And he goes, no, man, it just comes out. The Raiders, it's something about it, man. It just feels right. Feels right.
And he's saying everything right, man. And I know he doesn't play like Reggie White, but I'm getting this. He's got this nice guy off the field, kind of like Reggie White was. But when he's on the field, man.
Oh, yeah. He's a run stopper.
That is just going to make us so much a run stopper.
He's a run stopper.
And again, he and Max's engines are going to be, it's going to be contagious, and the rest of the defense is going to start playing like them. And that should spill over to the offense saying, hey, these guys are getting all the shine. Let us get our shine and watch all these guys step up. And Gardner Minshew, if that's going to be his job, great. I do think that we should still go after a rookie quarterback.
Right.
I wouldn't even mind if we traded for Justin Fields still, because that would make the quarterback room that much stronger.
Well, Gardner Minshew,
just my opinion.
He said, they asked him, they said, were you promised anything? He said, no, I was not promised anything at all. He goes, I just want a chance to compete. And Aiden O'Connell says the right things. You know, you think of Peyton Manning, you think of all those guys, their first year was a tough role. And Aiden O'Connell, we haven't seen an experience in O'Connell yet. I know I felt like he could have run more than, but he was a rookie, man. He didn't know what was going on. And for what he was doing and what he was learning and having to go through a stepdad coach that got, you know, all of those problems, I don't think we've got a fair look at him. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think I'm not super confident in him, but you know what? I like the idea of Fields, Minshew, and O'Connell, you know?
I mean, he got thrown to the wolves in that Charger game to begin with. And a lesser player's confidence would have been shaken being sacked that many times. And his wasn't. He came back and stood in the pocket time and time again. And but it's a testament to Coach Pierce of how he galvanized this new spirit that the team has, or aura that the team is undergoing, and their chakras, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We don't complete a pass against Kansas City and we win the game. So that they're playing out of their minds. And when they get a training camp under their belts and get a quarterback that can complete some passes, whether that's O'Connell, whether that's Minshew, whether that's Fields or whomever we might pick up, this team is going to be better simply based on the head coach and the spirit that he's bringing to the team and allowing them to just be themselves and to go out and execute. And that's what Wilkins said today. He says, Coach Pierce told me, just be myself and everything else will fall in place. And that's the Raider way. That's the Raider way. Be yourself.
That is the Raider way. And you know, and here we go again. You know, those evil coaches we've had these coaches that try to put people in a box. And I get it. Some players need to be put in a box. But sometimes, you know, you need to coach them, but you need to step back. Let them cook. Let them, you know. And I think, boy, that defensive line right now, I mean, there's like six guys that it's, man, and Tyree, if Tyree has a year,
Yeah. And guess what? Some free agents may take a pay cut just to come be a part of, you know, for 1 year. Can't find a good fit. You know what? Hey, Raiders, do you have room over there for me? Let me show people what I can do and come in for 1 year and wreak havoc.
I think this next year is a good year to be a DB that maybe lost a step, because I don't think you have to cover for more than 3-4 seconds. You know what I mean? It might be a veteran DB that maybe not be as fast, but he's smart. And because with our defensive line, give me 4 seconds of coverage. Just four seconds. That's all we need.
Man, we're going to rack up some sacks this year and tackles for losses. It's going to be fun. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, all those Raider teams that the Alzado, Howie Long, the Tusek, all those years, we always had that. Like, hey, they're coming. You know, we've had our moments, but man, right now, I just feel so much better about that, you know?
Well, the 2017 Raiders, when Khalil just went nuts.
Crazy. Yeah.
And made the Pro Bowl at both the defensive end and a linebacker. He did everything. I mean, that guy was everywhere. And we're going to see that again, the resurgence of someone on our line, whether it be the edge or up the middle. They're going to be highlighted on SportsCenter every Sunday night.
When they let Tillery go, I go, they're just not letting him go without something else. But there wouldn't have been room for him this year, you know?
No.
And that poor guy, Telesco and Tillery did not have a good relationship. That's why he came from San Diego. And you know, the minute they hired Telesco, Tillery's like, oh, man, put the house on the market.
I can't be a part of it.
This is not going my way. That's not going to work out.
I
did see Chris Long, Howie's son, came on and they were talking about, he goes, when you're a pro, when you're thinking, should I retire or do I got 1 or 2 years in me? And he goes, I got a call from Bill Belichick. And he goes, I can't help but be jealous because the money these guys are making now, because I would be on a yacht right now, not in my golf cart. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so different in just a few years. I mean, he's been out of the league, a couple of years, 3-4 years, and that's it. But when you grow up, your dad's Howie Long, too. You know?
There's a guy that just retired, with the last name of Kelsey, and he played for Philadelphia at center. And they, when they signed Saquon Barkley, he says, there's a part of me that wants to be a part of that.
Right.
I think he may reverse course and come back and see what they can do. Cause you feel like you want to retire. Cause I still think he has something left. And then you pick probably up a running back like Saquon.
Right.
That reinvigorates you. And I'm telling you, this Christian Wilkins coming to the Raiders is going to reinvigorate guys on that defense, even though they already were invigorated by
Max
Crosby. This is, because I'm fired up. I watched him on that interview and I'm like, oh my God, it's only March.
Yeah.
April, May, June, July. We have 5 months until we see somebody get smashed, and he's going to do a lot of smashing.
And people want to play for that. There's, like you said, and this is the one thing that we got to come up with a word for it. It's that it. And I don't know what that, we got to come up with a word for the it, because we can't, there's no stat. There's no, it's almost like when we said, like, you know, when a game, it's taken over by emotion and a momentum. It's a momentum, this thing, but I don't know how to, we need a word for it.
I'm glad that Christian Wilkins said that he and some of his teammates were in the locker room. And he said, I don't know what it is
they're
doing, but it's different. And I wouldn't mind being a part of that. And so no one, he's a professional. He can't even name it. So
how can we name it? Well, maybe we need to invent it.
I like it.
The it factor. that will not be named. It's like the Force in Star Wars, or for a better term, I don't know. It's like, man, it's,
you know, crazy. He's got it, and no one ever defines it. It doesn't. I don't think we need to define it, gnarly. We just need to keep calling it it, because it worked for us down the stretch, and let it work for us over the course of a full season.
But sometimes I think about that clown in the sewer when you say it, then I get nervous about that. The clown that lives underground with a red balloon. And I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that it. There's cousin it. Oh, there's cousin it in the Adams family. But I think
that's my cousin.
That's Fester. You're Fester's. So I don't know. Wait. Here's the deal. When we come back, we want to talk about what we think we should do in the draft, and possibly maybe we'll have a name for the it, whatever that is. All right? That's coming up next right here on Inside the Patch.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders. Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Second down, goal to go, Herbert, look out, here comes Crosby, trying to get away, he can't. And he was hit initially in there by Wilkins, who would not let go.
That sounds about right.
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders, here's Gnarly Charlie.
Welcome back to Inside the Patch. And, of course, we've got Mitch Adams, a professor of the Perfect Rotation Basketball Training Device. Look at that thing, perfectrotation.com. If you put Raiders in the code, you get a discount.
30% off.
Well, so we talked about the Raiders, and we've got so much hope and love for our defense this year. How about Mike Epps? It's not Mike Epps. Is it Mike Epps? That's an actor. Our free safety Epps. I forgot his. I don't know if it's Mike Epps or not. I know it's Epps. Okay. He's an older guy. I'm just
Marcus
saying.
Marcus Epps.
Okay, but you see, I got the two confused. We do not want the comedian Mike Epps in our free safety. Now Marcus is fine, but I could see them maybe getting a young guy to maybe work under him, you know, possibly.
Well, let's back up, because Epps is playing strong safety.
Well, that's too.
And he was pretty solid this year. I have to give it to him.
I agree. I think he would be a perfect veteran guy. Kind of like when Charles Woodson came in there his last year, you know, and was showing the guys. I saw an interview with Charles Woodson, and he said he was when he left the Raiders the first time, knowing he was going to come back, there was a little bit of disrespect, not just from like one or two Raider heads up, right? But he said, my heart was here and we worked it out. And he goes, he loved being a part of that locker room. He's a Raider for life. And he was talking about how they said, you know, Charles, people said you didn't like to practice. He goes, it's not that I didn't like to practice. He said, as a veteran, I learned through these coaches the way I learned formations and that they use for their plays. I learned how to watch the game different. And so he said he would really like the 20 yards in, that's where he would really look on game film, you know, and he broke it down. He said, through some of these coaches, they taught me how to watch film smarter. And that was the whole thing with him. And so he learned and he taught other people. And he goes, as I became a veteran, I would pick up on things. It's like a poker player on a tell, you know, like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. And only things a veteran could do, you know. So it wasn't that he didn't want to practice. He put his emphasis on the way people act when they do certain things. And that's that veteran thing that I love, that when we get those players that have the veteran savvy, you know.
And that's why when I said a veteran corner to go opposite Jones on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Number zero, was that Bennett? It's tough to throw a rookie out there unless it's somebody like Charles. And I did that because he used to do Oakland.
Yep.
And then we can do that because we love Charles. I thought Epps coming in, it was about 4 or 5 years in the league. He was decent last year. I think Trayvon Moore really stepped it up. And, you know, he looked a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Certainly came through with the number of interceptions, which he hadn't done the first couple of years. And I liked what I saw from him. I do think a veteran is needed.
And Nate Hobbs, too. I love him. I love the way he's playing.
Yeah, could be the slot. I mean, it could be the starter or could be the slot corner. But I do think a wily veteran, like you mentioned, would work, because somebody to teach these guys tendencies, what to look for. And that's what Charles did. Because when Charles's first stint with the Raiders, when he was a rookie, was sheer talent. He just went out there and he was on the corner. He played corner and he and Eric Allen held it down. And then when he came back, he was the free safety. And my God, he was everywhere. It was that sort of, if we had a player like that, and whether that's in the defensive backfield or as a linebacker, somebody that's everywhere, sort of like, I hate to mention it, but Fred Warner, linebacker like that, or a player like that of that caliber that's all over the field, that's what you want. And I do think that we're going to see somebody elevate their play based on Max and Christian going off. Yeah. And others are going to want some of that shine, and they're going to elevate their games. And offensively, like I said, they're going to be jealous that they're not getting the press. And you watch Davante Adams step up. Not that he hasn't. Jacoby Myers, watch him step up for sure. Michael Mayer, that guy, that giant tight end, guy is going to be all world. You watch.
I think this is his
rookie season under his belt. Yeah.
He's got that 87.
It's going to be interesting.
That Raymond Chester, Dave Casper 87 on his back. So, you know, that could be really good for us. Did you ever hear the story about Eric Allen when he was talking about the tuck rule? Have you ever heard that, him talk about that?
I've heard a lot of stories.
Well, this is what he
was saying. Try to forget about most of them, but please share.
No, well, he said, it was a timeout, and he goes, and I was just kind of like, I could hear the coach. He was on the field, and you know, he heard the play. He knew what the play was going to be, and he goes, I knew it was going to be like a passer I could totally pick off. I was going to maybe take it to the house, and he goes, I had it totally dialed in, and he goes, and then that happened, but I was happy, and then I wasn't happy because he got screwed over. But he said if Brady would have got the throw off, he would have had a pick six. That's his version of it. It's like he knew the play and he was all ready to, you know, and the thing is, if that would have happened, would have, should have, could have, whatever, it didn't. And so it's hard to go back. But I was like, oh, we wouldn't know if it did happen that way. We wouldn't even know because it would have happened that way, you know, but it's those kind of things that make me go, no, you know?
Yeah. That's a tough one to relive. I mean, that's, for me, I was a little young for the Immaculate Reception. I heard my dad cursing.
what cuss words did your dad say? That's funny.
All of them.
I remember the Holy Roller. I was watching and I hit my knee on that. The fireplace. I was jumping up and down and I hurt myself. Like, so I saw it. We scored. I jumped up, hit the fireplace, and now I'm on the ground, but I'm still happy because Casper, you know, kicked it into the end zone and then we recovered for a touchdown.
Oh my goodness. Then there was another game. Speaking of blown calls, Jack Tatum meeting Rob Lytle in Denver to send us to back-to-back Super Bowls. Back in, that was the Super Bowl 12 leading up to that. And he hits Lytle at the top of pow and he fumbles. And I think, I don't know if it was Dave Pear, Otis Sisters, somebody had the ball, Dave Rowe, somebody headed the other direction, and they blow the play dead. Like, no fumble. It's like, what? So, there were a number of those plays that pull my heart out. Okay,
it's so funny because you see, there's probably a lot of plays in our childhood that would not have stayed if they had replay, you know what I mean? Just because now when you see a catch, you're like, hold on. We got 19 angles to look at before. Is there any yellow on the field? I'm always like, I'm never confident. Like, oh, there's a touchdown. I'm always like, wait a minute. Give me 10 more minutes.
Like a kick return or a punt return. You're like, let me look. It's funny that people are so used to replay. And I was at a high school basketball, a state championship games in Sacramento over the weekend. And it's funny because there were a bunch of mothers behind me. And I mean, they were into the game. Oh, man. I should have recruited them as Raider fans, man. Oh, my God. They were just
and loud.
They were letting the refs have it. And then they obviously, obvious misplay. And they're like, why aren't they looking at the replay? And I said,
this is high school.
There's no replay in high school. And there's they're no like, gambling. Oh. There's no they said, replay. We've been yelling at the refs all season for not checking the replay.
Oh, there was a video. It was on TikTok. And this girl's probably 9 or 10, girls basketball, shoots a free throw and throws an air ball. Because she didn't have the perfect rotation basketball training device. But somebody yells, airball, and everybody just turns like a little kid. It's because that's my daughter. It's my daughter. I could say that. Like she had to apologize, but she totally called her kid out with airball, and everybody just turned her head like, you horrible person. Man. She goes, it's my daughter. It's my daughter. She threw an airball. She shouldn't have. You know.
I love that mother.
It was just funny. But see, that mother should be calling you for the perfect rotation basketball training device. That's her problem.
By all means.
Hey, let's talk about the schedule next year. I was just checking it out. So we go to L.A. twice. We play the Rams and the Chargers in L.A., which kind of constitutes two more home games for us, right? the AP coming home game? Come on, man. You don't think they're going to go crazy for that?
I might find myself at both of those games.
Rams and Chargers. Now, my brother is a season ticket Rams holder, so I might have to go with a Rams fan, but maybe we'll tie him up and you come, Mitch, and you and I go together. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's funny
because the Rams saying is, it's our house. Whose house? Our house, right? But the Raiders were playing, and it was like, apparently it's the Raiders' house. You don't have enough loud enough fans. And I don't know if you've been there yet, SoFi. It's super steep.
I haven't. I really want to go there.
But the video screen is across the whole field, right? I found myself watching the screen. Because the only time I went, Gruden was coached. He was little on the field, but up on the screen, boom, you could see everything. I'm like, I'm just watching TV. I'm here, but I'm watching TV, you know? and it's great. It's a great stadium. It's loud. But we are going to SoFi twice next year.
I spent my summer vacations right across the street from there. That was my summer vacation in Inglewood
Well, you know, so know, NFL.
That's my old neighborhood.
I got a call foul on Mr. Mike Lombardi. I no longer like him. I've lost every bit of respect for him. And Mike Lombardi, if you don't know, he was part of the Raiders in 96, I think 92 to 96, whatever.
He was there for a little bit. Yeah.
But Al fired him when he was getting missed. He realized that he was a secret patriot. You know, he was an undercover spy. He's the one that told Al, yeah, Randy Moss is washed up. He's no good. And got him to trade him to the Patriots. I mean, that he was a part of that. And that's when Al goes, oh, okay, you're done. Well, anyway, his son had been our offensive coordinator the last couple of years with Josh McDaniels. And, man, Lombardi would get on the news, and he would talk about Derek Carr's fall. He made in Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, he just slammed them and just put them all down. And then, you know, as you guys all know, our stepdad got kicked off the team and we were happy about that. And Ding Dong, the Witch was dead. But Lombardi still runs his mouth. And he's the one that's been, for no reason, going after AP. He has nothing to do with the Raiders now. And he says, why is AP talking about the Raider way? And he thinks because he's from Crenshaw. He just did all those things. And I'm like, you know, the best thing you can do is not talk, because you sound like a guy that's mad because your son was a horrible offensive coordinator and you stood up for the guy who was the devil. And now you're still trying to shove it down the Raiders, you know, for no reason. And I'm like, AP did not deserve that. And he goes, AP, he's like he's like Don King. He's just trying to sell tickets and he's all rah, rah cheerleader. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
The trouble with guys like him, and I hate to say it, but also with Amy Trask, you get these positions and then when you no longer have them, you want to still feel important. And so you try to talk a good game so you can stay relevant. But everything he said, it just sounds like sour grapes.
Right.
It's like, dude, shut up. Like you said, shut up.
In anything in life, you know, you need to just keep going forward. And honestly, if someone says, how are you doing? They don't want to know. They really don't want to know. We say that. Don't tell us, because we don't care. And then as you start to explain, you start looking petty and it's like, no, and nobody cares. And they're like, oh, I wish you'd quit talking.
Yeah. Quit talking, because what you're doing, because AP has been a player.
Right.
And he uses all of that bulletin board stuff to really get himself worked up. And now he's going to work that team up. And I do think, I was talking with my brother earlier this week. I said, who else is out there like AP? Is there anybody in basketball? No. Is there anybody in baseball? No. The only other person that is on the level of AP when it comes to this sort of it factor is Dion in Colorado.
Right.
And because it's so different,
right,
people want to speak negatively about it because Dion's got those norm. Kids wanting.
Yes.
It's what wasn't the norm. It's going to become the norm. And it's obviously Dion was the first to really come in with this And it's not even really bravado. I guess some people would call it bravado. But Deion's got those kids wanting to play for him. And you saw all of the excitement that he brought to Colorado. That same energy that AP is bringing to Las Vegas. And, or let's just say to Raider Nation, because it's got a lot of people excited. And when you, and I can't put my finger on what Deion brings to the table, that excitement. And I can't put my finger on what AP is bringing. But when you look at it, those are the only two guys out there.
Right.
That are bringing that it with them that people are enamored by. Like, I don't know what it is, but I want to be a part of it. You saw Ocho Cinco ask Deion, I want a job. And Deion says, you forget I know who you are. You'll never show up. Then he comes AP and says, I want a job. And they actually publicized it that he was a receiver coach. But I think it's probably more he's probably going to come. Probably both Colorado and Las Vegas and assist at certain times at the behest of the coaches. So
think about this too. The coaching had to change. There was a time when you could be Woody Hayes and punch a player in the face. You could yell. I mean, these coaches in the 60s and 70s, they were the Bill Belichick's. They were tyrants and that was acceptable. Well, the world has changed now. And now there's this social media and Twitter and it's a different animal. The players, the pros today are 20 years younger than you and I, you know, and they're men and they grew up hitting buttons and not writing cursive. And it's a different world. And that's where I think this new style of coaching
is coming. Buttons, not writing cursive. I love it.
You know what I mean?
I looked at Gardner Minshew when he was born. He was born in 96. My son was born in 97. I'm like, holy crap.
I know.
It is a different day and age, but guess what? Those guys may have been tyrants, the Woody Hayeses, the Belichick.
All those guys.
Do not cross Deion or you're off the team. Do not cross AP because I'm sure he too will be like, you're off this team. And these guys are going to be hard-nosed, tough coaches, but the players want to play for them because they bring a different energy than what everyone has been used to. And it's new. And I guarantee you're going to see a trend of guys coming into this league that bring the same sort of energy and we'll call it bravado these current players want to play for. And it's going to be former players that are taking these roles as head coaches, not guys that have come up through the ranks like Marty Schottenheimer, who probably never played football, but was good with X's and O's and he elevated all the way through high school, college, into the pros. And this guy was a Super Bowl coach. He coached all the way to the Super Bowl. But he never played, not at that level. These jobs are going to start going to guys that played the game because they're going to get these guys to play for them because they've done it before.
And they have that extra knowledge, that piece of knowing that I suited up and this is what I know. And that's what AP brings more than anything is like, I think I'll listen to him. Cause I know he won a Super Bowl. I know he played for the Giants. I've heard Eli Manning talk about AP saying he would come to me and ask questions and to where he goes, he knew what the plays were before they were happening.
Yeah.
He's smart. And
student of the game.
That's it. And once you get the kids believing and these players believing it, you know, every pro's good, been good on every team, but that doesn't mean they had the it. They got to get the it.
Boy, and they're going to want to play for it. And, as I'm sitting here, I'm liking it to a kid that goes through officer training and comes out and tries to command the troops. They don't get the respect immediately. And that's kind of the coaching fraternity now.
Right.
But the guy, the old grizzled veteran that was a grunt and then a sergeant and worked his way up to maybe an officer, gets more respect because he's been in the trenches. He's been there and they believe in him because he's telling them, I've done this before. Follow my lead. And that's what these guys, these owners are going to start looking for, that guy that's been there, because this these young guys, they're going to want to follow someone that's done it before.
I agree 100% with you, Mitch. You are right on. Look at that.
Did we find out what it was?
I think so.
Maybe we did.
It's the Christian Max Church. We're both members now. The Christian Max Church of Black Wholeness. And I'm telling you, we are very excited about this year. There's my
silver and black cross right there, there baby.
There it is. And you know what? But I was thinking to myself, sometimes when I shoot, though, I don't have the rotation. And I think, what could make this even a little bit better? Look at that.
What makes the world go round is a perfect rotation. And same with your shot.
Look at that. See? It's got the place for your fingers. That's the whole key to that, right?
So that's for the finger flick.
The flick.
And it's weighted. It's going to strengthen your arm, your shooting side from fingertips to shoulder. Elbow under the ball, release. And all of a sudden, when you grab the regular ball, boom.
So I'm playing 50 and over softball. I just had my first game, and it's the hitting's fine. It's the running part. I stretch a triple into a double, solid. I did a triple right into a double, and I was warming up with my brother-in-law who's the coach, and he has this ball, and it's a weighted softball. And I think it might have something to do with what you're talking about, because you play catch with that, and all of a sudden now you get the other one, the real one, and you're like, whoa. And I felt like my fingertips, I felt there was some strength there. So I understand the principle. Same, I think that's cool.
Same concept. Just like you put the donuts on the bat before you hit to activate your hitting muscles, you're activating your shooting muscles and there strengthening them over the course of time.
And then it's memory, huh? And the memory muscle takes over.
Oh,
and
next, muscle memory, baby.
And it's like that. All right. Wow. So we got a lot of stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we even have, I heard a rumor that we might be getting some very big Raiders named after presidents. You know, that could happen.
I'm working on it. I know I've got another one. He's not as big, but he was a good return man. We'll leave that. No one's as big as the other one.
I don't think in sure size, but we're working on all those things, and those are coming up on Inside the Patch. Mitch Adams, thank you so much. Remember, let's all remember the Max Christian. This is a day when the Max Christian came to be.
Woo! The church of Max Christian. I'm a Max Christian, baby. I believe.
Are you Christian? Not only am I Christian, I'm a Max Christian. That's like a little bit better. That's a little more.
Better. Because that has it. It's got it.
Yeah. Well, he's got double X's, so it's like double crosses. There it is. It's all good there. We're good.
It's just
good
turning
to go.
A little bit.
All right. It's Inside the Patch. Thank you, Mitch. We'll see you next week right here on ESPN 1430.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders.